It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, it's Food Friday. We'll talk about some of the foods and the recipes that make us nostalgic.
First.
And so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
Hillary Clinton became the first woman to receive the nomination of a major political party in the United States at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
And speakers including President Obama and the First Lady, parents of shooting victims, veterans, all came out to the convention to endorse Hillary Clinton for president. But some Democratic delegates are still not completely on board with Clinton just yet, as some Bernie Sanders supporters protested during the convention.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What was your biggest takeaway from this week's convention? What do you want to see during the general election? What do you want to learn about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or third-party candidates that you don't know yet? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or share your comments, your questions on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lily Gorin is with us now. She's a political science professor at Carroll University. She was with us last week to recap the Republican National Convention and is back with us now for a look at the Democratic National Convention now that that's wrapped up. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on again.
Well, in terms of how well it was pulled off, how well messages were delivered, how would you rate the Democratic National Convention?
This convention seemed to actually go off fairly well, clearly organized with thematic sort of consistency across the evenings, a lot of, you know, pretty big hitters, as we say, in the speeches that were delivered. And I think in a lot of ways, it was an attempt to present, not only to present, but also to actively unify the party behind the standard bearer now, Hillary Clinton, as well as a lot of the Democrats who are running for office across the states and localities.
And let's talk about that speech by Hillary Clinton last night, high stakes. As far as timing goes, not quite as long as Donald Trump's and not quite as many people watched it. And it's interesting to see the reaction today. Here's a portion.
Some of you are frustrated, even furious. And you know what? You're right. It's not yet working the way it should. Americans are willing to work and work hard. But right now, an awful lot of people feel there is less and less respect for the work they do, and less respect for them, period. Democrats, we are the party of working people. But we haven't done a good enough job showing we get what you're going through, and we're going to do something to help. So tonight I want to tell you how we will empower Americans to live better lives. My primary mission as president will be to create more opportunity and more good jobs with rising wages right here in the United States.
And Lily, that nod at the beginning to being frustrated, maybe even furious, was that, do you think, intended to be a bridge to Bernie Sanders supporters or people considering a vote maybe for Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think that there were certainly that part of the speech and other parts of the speech were designed to open up the sort of discourse or the opportunity if people are looking to consider Hillary Clinton or the Democrats, that this is, you know, how you define how she was defining the Democratic Party and to some degree the role that the Democratic Party has long had with regard to working people, as she said. And so I think that that part was probably more pitched possibly towards Trump voters and to a degree to Sanders voters. There were other parts of the speech that I think were probably more directly connecting to or attempting to connect to Sanders supporters.
And what were those parts of the speech?
Well, I think that some of the other parts of the speech where she does talk specifically about income inequality and does also, it really at the beginning of the speech up front, she does a number of sentences where she talks specifically about Sanders and Sanders' campaign and putting questions of inequality, racial, and as well as income front and center. As she said, I think the quote was, where they belong, and that she credits him and the campaign and the people who work for him with doing that. So to some degree, there were direct shout outs to a lot of the issues that Sanders had himself campaigned on.
And last night, one question going in was, will there be a noticeable disruption from Bernie Sanders supporters who are still not on board with Hillary Clinton? And that was a thread running through the convention, maybe more so at the beginning. But what is your sense of how big a deal or how prominent that ended up being during the convention as a whole?
Well, as you know, somebody who's watching it at home, I wasn't at the convention itself, but you know, from what I've heard from reporters who were on the scene, that there were, you know, there was a lot of sort of back and forth, particularly on Monday night of the convention, and that a lot of that was also coming specifically from, I guess, the California delegation, but that by the time you got to Thursday night, a lot of the folks who had been making a lot of the noise, or who had been booing, or who had been saying no TPP for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a lot of that had really been sort of quieted down, at least sort of Wednesday and Thursday night. It was not as prominent as it was on Monday night, although Leon Panetta's speech was one that was clearly interrupted and disturbed by some of the shouts with regard to no war.
We're talking with Lily Gorin right now, political science professor at Carroll University. And we're looking back, taking stock of the Democratic National Convention, which wrapped up last night with an acceptance speech from Hillary Clinton. And one narrative coming out of that speech last night was that the Democrats, from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama, were sort of seizing a platform of optimism that, yes, there was room for improvement, but that as a whole, America was still great. What did you think of that?
Well, I think if you listen to Barack Obama's speech starting in perhaps 2004, but certainly to a number of his speeches over the years that he's been in the public, a lot of what he's talked about is perfecting this more perfect union, as the Constitution says, and that part of his own narrative and his own experience as an American citizen is one that he often highlights as part of that sort of narrative of optimism and the best days are in front of us, as he's said on a number of occasions, which is something that Ronald Reagan has also often said. And he quoted Reagan's quote about being a shining city on a hill, which comes from, you know, some of the Puritan forebearers who showed up here in the 1600s.
Now, on policy issues, she covered a lot of ground, including the issue of guns.
I'm not here to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm not here to take away your guns. I just don't want you to be shot by someone who shouldn't have a gun in the first place.
So I guess the line that stands out, I'm not here to take away your guns. What do you make of that portion of the speech?
Well, you know, this is an attack line that has been used against her, mostly coming from the right, that Hillary Clinton wants to abolish the Second Amendment. And so I would assume that the reason that was installed in the speech itself and the way she gave it, you know, she did have a sort of interesting rhetorical move that she made there, incorporating the fact that she doesn't want to take away the Second Amendment, that she doesn't want to take away people's guns, but she doesn't want guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have access to them, is about, you know, certain attempts at some control or gun control policy that's being advocated by some of the people who are at the convention earlier, the Mothers of the Movement. This is something that Michael Bloomberg, who is neither Democrat nor Republican, he is an independent, as he said from the stage in Philadelphia, has poured a lot of his own money into. And so I think to some degree she was trying to make the argument that, or counter an argument that has been one of the ones that has been used against her.
We're talking right now with Lily Gorin, a political science professor at Carroll University, talking about this week's Democratic National Convention.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of what you saw from Democrats? Are you on board? If you were doubting, never going to be on board with Hillary Clinton, what would she need to do to sell her campaign to you? How about Donald Trump, for that matter? What are you looking at in the road ahead? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page or email talk@WPR.org.
Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation now with Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at the Democratic National Convention. It just wrapped up last night in Philadelphia, and looking at the road to November.
And we want to hear from you. What did you think of this week's convention? Are you worried or excited for the general election? You can tell us what you thought at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also leave your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page or email them to talk@WPR.org. And we'll take our first caller now. We have Elizabeth with us in Green Bay. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Excuse me. So this election makes my heart hurt a little. When I was a kid back in the 90s when Hillary Clinton was big. And she, as a kid growing up in, you know, a bad environment, really poor, she's one of the first people that inspired me to care about the community and care about the world and the others and helping. And I attribute a lot of the messages I heard her say as a kid to me being in social work and psychology now. Where it gets sad is back during the Obama election when she was running the first time. The more research I did, the more I found out that the ideals that she spoke of, she in her personal life does the opposite. So like her taking money from the poor, using Globe University and others. So now with this election, I've always voted Democrat just because I care about the people, care about the poor, and I can't anymore. So I'm voting Green Party because the Green Party is the closest to my ideals. But it hurts because one of the people that I looked up to so much as a kid is now basically trained me to be against who she actually is.
So nothing, Elizabeth, nothing you heard at the convention from Hillary Clinton or the people there to support her, none of that changed your feelings?
No, and I was really hoping it would, because honestly, I'm sure anyone out there who's ever lost a role model knows that, like, that pain of, like, oh, you're, like, my idol. And no, like, I watched and I listened, but and no, I have my master's now, and I know a lot about what's going on, and it didn't work for me, and it disheartened me a lot. So voting Green Party, knowing that my vote doesn't really matter because of gerrymandering anyways, so there you go.
Elizabeth, thanks so much for that call. An interesting call there from Elizabeth, Lily, talking about how she was inspired and influenced by Hillary Clinton early on, but is not on board with her anymore. And I think Hillary Clinton tried to answer some people similar maybe to Elizabeth, talking about her public service record, saying she wasn't always as good at the public part of it as she was at the service, and address some of those. Was she effective at all, do you think?
Well, I mean, again, for the caller, for Elizabeth, she wasn't effective. She may have been effective for other people. And it was also a number of people who were at the convention on all week who were also making the case for Hillary Clinton. One of the interesting sort of aspects of Hillary Clinton that has been sort of analyzed by some political scientists and also by people in the blogosphere is that she's generally more popular and people like her better when she's not running for office, but she is in some sort of position where she may be serving either as first lady or as, you know, Secretary of State, but when she is actually running for office, that there is a great concern about, you know, who she is. is and how she conducts herself, and so that there's a disconnect for her, or at least to some degree there may be, with regard to her as a candidate versus her as actually a public servant.
As a political scientist, what do you make of that? What does that tell you?
Well, I think that part of it is, you know, the difficulty that we have in the system that we have, where if you're running for a public office, particularly one of president or for senator, which are statewide offices, you need so much money in order to sort of, you know, get onto the map and potentially win, that it often looks like you are compromising because of the money that you have to take from lobbyists and from interest groups and so forth. And that's one of the difficulties of running for public office in the United States system. It's a really expensive undertaking. And it often, in fact, clouds people's judgments of you because you do need the money in order to, you know, get anywhere.
Thank you for that call, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. And one more from Dimitri in Milwaukee. Dimitri, hi.
Hi there. Perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to say there was a superdelegate that was up during the DNC who was supporting Bernie and said, frankly, that he doesn't have to make his decision up until November. And I think that's pretty much how a lot of people like myself who are supporting Bernie supporters are feeling, is that we don't necessarily have to say that we're with Hillary. Those that are against Hillary are not against her policies, because she's adopted a lot of the progressive Bernie policies. It's the fact that she's not a very trustworthy individual who's flip-flopped on too many policies in the past. So some of us may vote for Gary Johnson, some of us may vote for Jill Stein, or, you know, we might team up and say we can't have Donald Trump in the presidency. So we'll wait until November.
So, Dimitri, you said waiting for November. What are you waiting for? What sorts of things are you going to be looking for during that time?
It's actually not a lot of looking into. It's basically feeling out how close Donald Trump is to a presidency. So if Gary Johnson, for example, doesn't get 15% of the vote in polling and doesn't get onto the national debate stage, then that may swing people like myself to vote for Hillary to avoid a Trump presidency.
Dimitri, thanks a lot for that. And he says he's going to wait till November, find out how close we are to a Trump presidency. Do you think that's something that other folks are saying at this point?
You know, I think folks on both sides of the aisle actually are saying that. I think that there are some people who are not, you know, Republicans who are not really on board with Trump, but they're sort of waiting to see how things are going and you know, what the polls may say over the next 2 to 3 months, what happens in the debates. Possibly we'll have a number of debates that will be coming up in October, and that may be areas where people like Dimitri or people on the other side of the aisle, you know, ultimately start to come down on one side or the other. You know, a vote is a very personal thing for many people, and it's something that many Americans take extremely seriously. And while, you know, there's not just the top of the ticket, there's also votes, you know, as Ted Cruz, up and down the ballot. And those are things that people, you know, consider a lot when they go to vote.
And we're talking with Lily Gorin right now from Carroll University. Lily, let's talk about Khizr Khan took the stage with his wife to talk about their son who was killed in Iraq. And he was a Muslim American army captain. And here is Khizr Khan talking about Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton was right when she called my son the best of America. If it was up to Donald Trump, he never would have been in America. Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country.
And Lily, again, that was one of the more talked about speeches from last night. What do you think people heard in that speech that made it resonate?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, when I heard that, when I was watching it, I think I stopped breathing. I was so moved by Mr. Khan and his story and his delivery, and somebody who keeps her constitution with her often and always. The fact that he, you know, sort of indicted Mr. Trump in terms of possibly not having read the Constitution and offered to lend it to him, and to some degree stood there as his tribune. Of his son and what his son was committed to in the United States as a country and willing to defend it, and they had come from another country where they had been oppressed. It was an incredibly affecting speech.
And we'll go back to our callers now and take a call from Jack in Viola. Jack, hi.
Good afternoon. I really like the convention. I'm a Bernie supporter. Okay, but, you know, I look at what Bernie did. He was an outsider, and he moved to an inside strategy. And his integrity, and he knew what he was doing when he did it. And he knew if he lost, he would support Hillary. He knew what the stakes were. And that inspired me about where I'm at. I'm not cynical about the whole thing. I know politics is dirty at times, and, you know, Hillary has played the game, okay? I can find fault with a lot of things. Same thing with Obama. But, on the other hand, I weigh things out, and I like what I heard. I know the party platform is really good. I know a lot of Vernon County Democrats who are Bernie supporters. Matter of fact, there was a county that voted most heavily for Bernie, except for, I think, Portage County.
And Jack, we're going to leave it there so we can let our guest Lily respond. And Lily, Jack is okay with how things turned out. He understands politics. Looking at the majority of Bernie supporters, do you think Sanders supporters are sharing that sentiment?
Well, from the polls that I've seen, the indication is that there are quite a few Sanders supporters who have said that they will support Hillary Clinton in the general election. Not all, obviously. We've talked to a couple on the show already. But there are quite a few who are sort of in the mindset of Jack that, you know, they really liked what Sanders was running on, that a lot of it was integrated into the platform, that parts of it, again, made its way into Hillary Clinton's speech, that it was enunciated there, and that, you know, that's also politics. There are winners and losers in politics.
And Lily, just in our last few seconds, now that both conventions are over, what should we be on the lookout for next?
Well, you know, again, we saw Mike Pence was in Waukesha just, I think, on Wednesday. And I'm sure we're actually going to see pretty much all of the candidates, I assume, as well as many of their surrogates in Wisconsin as we move into the general election season.
Lily, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Lily Gorin, political science professor at Carroll University. And she joined us to talk about this week's Democratic National Convention, just ended last night in Philadelphia.
Coming up after the news, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll talk about foods that make us nostalgic. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.